Can you hear me, Indumati? Or Radha, or any of you can tell me. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Indumati, can you tell me if you can hear me? Or you can respond to the question also. Okay, thank you. Good. Radha says, fine. Any of you want to chant the Dhyana Shloka? Okay, I don't see any hands up symbol. So I will start now. Okay. Radha, yourself muted. You can start. You can start.
Om Pathaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam anusandadhami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayata Patra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha Prajwalito Jnanamaya Pradipah Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Parnaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatta Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat Vasude Vasutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagad Gurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadratha Jala Gandhara Nilotpala Shalya Grahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwatthama Vikarna Bhora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sutirna Kalu Pandavairana Nadi Taivartaka Keshavah Parasharya Vachasaroja Mamalam Gita Sadandhotkatam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambodhana Bodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatpadairaharah Pepiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvamsina Shreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్ర మరుతః తున్వంతి దివ్యై తవై వేదై సాంగ పదక్రమోపనిషదైః గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుస్సురాసురగణాః దేవాయ తస్మై నమః దేవాయ తస్మై నమః.
ధన్యవాదః. I hope you are able to hear me, Radha ji.
Yeah, I am able to hear you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Namaste.
One second, I think I have the wrong file open. One second. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఓం పరం వరిష్టం బ్రహ్మిష్టం పరమానందరూపిణం పరమార్తనందయతిం సద్గురుం ప్రణతోస్మ్యహం.
సో వి హడ్ జస్ట్ డన్ అన్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ టు ద సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్ లాస్ట్ వీక్ అండ్ వి సెడ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ధ్యాన యోగా ఆర్ ఆల్సో నోన్ యాజ్ ఆత్మ సంయమ యోగా. So 47 verses are there and in detail meditation is going to be covered, we saw. So meditation is basically a mental exercise which can give you several benefits in terms of health, then it can be used for worldly benefits, then it can be used for spirituality. So many, it's a multifaceted exercise, but here we are looking at, in chapter 6 we are analyzing it in the context of spiritual sadhana, that too as prescribed by the scriptures. So first of all, we saw what meditation is not meant for in the last class. And there are several misconceptions. And then we said it is not meant for the following. What did we say? It is not meant for attainment of liberation or moksha. It is not meant for getting extraordinary powers or extraordinary experiences. It is not meant for getting spiritual knowledge as well. Then the question was, what is it meant for then, right? If it is not any of these. So we said it is refinement of the mind before the spiritual education program. So it is a preparatory meditation. That is one kind of purpose. The second kind of purpose is assimilation of the spiritual education that we have had, which is termed as Vedantic meditation or Nididhyasanam. Right? And we also said that in chapter 6, Krishna, Lord Krishna is going to talk about Vedantic meditation in great detail. And I specifically mentioned that Lord Krishna doesn't talk about the first part, preparatory meditation, in a cohesive or structured manner in Gita. It is spread all across. So therefore, if you remember, I took the some of the slides that I had covered during introduction to Vedanta, and I talked about the different types of meditation, like, you know, the relaxation meditation, concentration meditation, then expansion meditation, value meditation. Okay, those four come under preparatory meditation. So because chapter 6 is going to deal in detail with Vedantic meditation. Okay, so Dhyana Yoga is all about Vedantic meditation. Now, how do we know that it is Vedantic meditation and it is, you know, clarified so much and all? Why should anybody believe with, say, if somebody says that? If you look at the Bhashyam of Shankaracharya, he has analyzed this aspect as a Purva Pakshi would have asked. A Purva Pakshi is an opponent. Somebody in this group itself, suddenly you feel, oh no, why should it be this meditation, not the other meditation? Then he has analyzed in great detail in the Shankara Bhashyam, and he has proven, he has taken all the areas from the chapters and said, this is why what Lord Krishna is referring to is referring to Vedantic meditation. He has done that. It is beyond the scope of our introductory Gita session to get into the details of that. Where required, I am summarizing whatever Shankaracharya's Bhashyam is there and I speak about it. So that is not a problem. So which I will anyway cover as and when it is required. So for this purpose, we will not get into what the Purva Pakshis are saying, whether it is Vedantic meditation or other meditation. We will take it that Lord Krishna is covering Vedantic meditation in this chapter. So in the last class, I actually introduced the first verse, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karotiyaha Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Chana Niragnirna Chakriyaha. So I talked about, I was telling you that the Bahiranga Sadhanani, right, the external aspects, right, are covered in verses 1 to 9 as well as 16 and 17, okay. So, the 6th chapter begins with Lord Krishna actually voluntarily starting the teaching and general preparations before meditation, right? And I also told you that Krishna actually wants to praise Karma Yogis first, right? Because you must understand that Gita is addressed to the Grihastha community first, right? Because it is for them to follow it and gain practical benefit, right? So therefore, Lord Krishna is hinting at a karma yoga way of life, right? Logic is, for worldly activities also we use our mind. For meditation also we use our mind. And we have only one mind. And the mind, if it is used for worldly transactions in a peaceful way, then the mind will be at peace when you are doing meditation. But if you have conflicts in office, conflicts on the home front, conflicts on the road, bargaining with the auto man, etc., right? All of that will reflect in the meditation, right? So, therefore, it is important for us to do what? To take care of the mind, right? I am not saying we can remove all the external conflicts as they appear. It is not possible, right? Family will continue, office will continue, all our problems, nation level, everywhere problems will be there. But how to address the mind in such a way that it is ready for this assimilation, right? So, therefore, generally, if you see, they suggest meditation during early morning. Because yesterday's disturbances, however bad they are, after a good sleep, it is rejuvenating and it is much lower, right? And early morning, that way is ideal for meditation because after this, what happens? It gets very difficult to take your mind out of family, office, etc. Right? So we are talking about grihastha here. That is why all these are important, right? Because for a sannyasi, maybe his day, most of the time, and his infrastructure is congenial for him to do meditation whenever he feels like, right? So In order to take care of the mind and make it fit enough for meditation, what can we do? We can look for FIR reduction and triple C increase. Through what? Through a karma yoga way of life, which Krishna has already dealt with in detail in chapter 2 and chapter 3. So here he is only, you know, either summarizing or referring to key points, right? So we have to sort of tone down and make sure that we have a shock absorber in the form of karma yoga attitude, right? So Ishwararpana Bhavana, we talked about whatever, and Ishwara Prasada Bhava. Whatever comes, it is given by you according to what I deserve, right? I am ready for any consequence and then start the work. Swamiji says, speak the sankalpam outside first, right? Speak it aloud in the puja room, saying I will accept whatever comes as Ishwararpana Bhava. It helps us to accept and reorient ourselves, right? So, once this Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava sets in, and as a result of Karma Yoga way of life, your FIR will reduce and therefore the mind gets ready, right? So, Lord Krishna is dealing with meditation in detail here, right? So, for cushioning the mind, Lord Krishna is prescribing Karma Yoga. And in chapters 2 to 3, he talked about samatvam or equanimity, right? We will achieve through Karma Yoga, right? So, in this first 9 verses, Lord Krishna wants to highlight the importance of Karma Yoga. He wants to remind us of Karma Yoga and glorifying the Grihastha Ashram, Grihastha Karma Yogi, so that it will serve as an incentive to others, right? So, he says, he's going really one step ahead and saying, a householder karma yoga is a real sannyasi, right? Lord Krishna hypes up the grihastha, right? Saying this, he alone is real sannyasi. Other traditional sannyasis who have renounced everything, they wear ochre robes, a traditional sannyasi, but he is not a real sannyasi. Little bit of, you know, soap, ice and all for the grihastha person, right? It is referred to as arthavada in Sanskrit, talking like this, right? So this is the first glory he is saying. A householder karma yogi is a real sannyasi. He is glorifying. Then the second glorification, he says, a meditator yogi is one who withdraws from all activity and sits still in meditation. Sitting quiet, right, with closed eyes, withdrawn from the world. That is conventional meditator. Now Lord Krishna says, conventional meditator is not real meditator. Then who is real meditator? Householder karma yogi who is engaged in performance of activities is real meditator. Okay. So, first glorification is householder karma yogi is real sannyasi. Second one is he who is engaged in performance of activities is real meditator. Therefore, Arjuna, I want you to be a householder by fighting the war and doing your karma yoga. Right? So, this is what Krishna is telling. Right? So, sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyaha. Niragnihi, right? There is a term here that requires a little bit of explanation. Okay? Now, who is a niragnihi? Niragnihi is used here to indicate a traditional sannyasi. Okay? Only when you know Vedic lifestyle, you will know the difference. A traditional householder or a grihastha is expected to do a fire ritual every day. Okay, so nowadays that practice is not there. We try and light lamp, even that is going now, right? So, the Vedic householder used to perform Vedic rituals, right? Now, what they used to do is, there are two types of Agni. One is called Aupasana Agni and the other is called Agnihotra Agni. Both of these on, actually the first one, the Aupasana Agni is kindled on the marriage day. Right, on the day the bride and bridegroom have the wedding, that day they kindle the Upasana Agni, and then within 6 months the Agnihotra Agni is also kindled, right? And a householder has to preserve this Agni that he kindled on the wedding day all the way until his death. Now death is considered the last samskara for the person, right? So in death, That is one thing that somebody else will have to do it on his behalf, right? Because it's only he cannot do it himself. So that is the day when in this Agni that he has started at the time of his wedding, because all powers, I told you, at some point in time for doing rituals comes only when in Grihastha Ashrama. So he started the fire at the time of beginning his marriage, and that fire is kindled without getting extinguished all these years. At the time of his death, after his death, the same Agni is used to give up his body in. So you are thanking Ishwara and giving up the body in that Agni for the last ritual, which is also the last samskara in a Grihastha's life. All, you know, Pumsavana, Simanta, all of them are samskaras, starting from Garbhadana, from that till the end. The last one is this samskara, Anteshti samskara, in which this Agni is used. Okay? So now what is it? Why is Krishna talking about this here? What is Niragni? He is here referring to the fact that a sannyasi does not have this. He does not have Agni. Because he is a brahmachari who became straight a sannyasi, or he is a grihastha who has given up everything and become a sannyasi. He doesn't have Agni. So he is referred to here as Niragnihi. But more importantly, this is also one of the reasons why the sannyasi is the reason why the sannyasi is not cremated, because he does not have Agni. He is either buried like that, or in some parts, in northern parts, they will leave the body with the river, like Ganga or something, right? So the very body is offered as a Vedic ritual, and for that Agni is required, and therefore here Niragnihi refers to the sannyasi here, right? Very important. And then the other term that is important here is Akriyaha. It's a technical word for a traditional meditator who has withdrawn from all the activities and who is seated still in meditation posture. This conventional meditator is not real meditator, says Lord Krishna. Okay, he says the active householder who is engaged in Panchamahayagnya is the real meditator. If you say householder karma yogi is real sannyasi and real meditator, what does a householder karma yogi do, right? So Lord Krishna has defined in chapter 2 and 3, which he reminds us in the first line here, right? Yaha karyam karma karoti. A karma yogi householder gives preference to the duties he has to do for family and others, right? And Pujaswamiji Dayananda Saraswati says that a Hindu society is duty-based society, right? Today we are all looking at rights-based society. That is why we are getting into trouble, right? And he says, in fact, in India we don't have this concept, but in some certain other countries, they teach the children, if your parents beat you, call a particular number, or if they discipline you, call a particular number, right? So our society is also changing from a duty based, it was parents' duties to correct children, right? So that is, things are changing, society is changing, right? So in the Vedic society, everybody used to do duty towards each other, right? So if his husband does the duty, the wife will get the rights automatically. She's not ill-treated or anything. Similarly, if the wife does duties, husband gets his right and nobody fights for rights, right? So therefore, karma yoga does not bother or fight about rights, but they just go about doing their duties. Duties are not under our control. You learn to do your duties. Learn to enjoy your performance of duties based on designation in family, profession, etc. And I have duties towards the environment, the nation, Panchabhutas, everything in the form of Panchamahayagnya. So, Karyam Karma here refers to the Panchamahayagnya. Karoti, that is a person who does all of this, the rider is, without expecting appreciation from others. Right? We have to learn to appreciate others when they do their duty, but we should not expect appreciation, right? So performance of duty will elevate me spiritually. No other activity will elevate me spiritually as much as performance of Panchamahayagnya. So such a karma yogi householder is a real sannyasi, not the ochre robed one. And he or she alone is a real meditator, not the one who is seated still in the cave. Arjuna, Remember, being a karma yogi is a very, very great sadhana. Right? Not only it will elevate you in spiritual sadhana, also when you sit in meditation, right? Whether others are fair or not to you, you will not see that, right? Sa yogi cha niragnihi na akriyaha. So the meaning of this verse, the Lord said, he who performs the action to be done without expecting the result of action is a sannyasi and not the renouncer of rituals. Moreover, he is a yogi and not a renouncer of activities. Continuing.
Yam sannyasamiti prahuhu, yam sannyasamiti prahuhu, yogam tam viddi pandava, yogam tam viddi pandava, nahya sanyasta sankalpaha, nahya sanyasta sankalpaha, yogi bhavati kashchana, yogi bhavati kashchana.
Lord Krishna further clarifies the same idea, right? A householder karma yogi is a sannyasi and not a ochre robed one. Tam yogam viddi, right? Karma yoga followed by a householder without expecting reciprocation, appreciation or reward for performance of duty, right? Tam sannyasam prahuhu. This karma yoga itself is a type of sannyasi. Hey Pandava, please note, right? And you are no less than a traditional sannyasi. Now, how can he be called sannyasi? Sannyasi means one who has renunciated. So, if a karma yogi must be given a sannyasi title, he must have renounced something, right? If he does not renounce home, family, wife, title, etc., right? What does this mean, right? So, a karma yogi has also renounced something, right? So, Krishna says, in this context, sankalpa here means, he has, karma yogi has renounced obsession with the future, right? Fancying the future, right? He is not worried about the future. He just does the Pancha Mahayajna and he is sure that it will protect him. Right? He believes in it. And he says, dharma will take care. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. Right? One who performs dharma, that will definitely take care of me. Right? All others may or may not help. And Swamiji says, at the time of death for Dasharatha, in spite of having 4 gem children, none were available next to him. Right? We have seen this. So, dharma will take care. We need to operate with that premise, right? So, ananya shintayo ento maam ejana paryupasate tesham nityaviyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. We will see this in chapter 9, 22nd verse, right? Bhagavan or Dharma will take care of me. By the way, LIC has adopted yogakshemam vahamyaham as their, you know, motto, right? Bhagavan or Dharma will take care of me. I am not worried about the future too much. I plan. It's not that I have a fatalistic attitude. I plan, I put in my best effort and then I leave it to Ishvara, right? Here sankalpa means obsession or worry of the future, right? He has given up on that, right? So therefore karma yoga title is okay, right? Is a person, so the title is sanyasta sankalpa. One who is not obsessed with the future but doing his duties. Lord Krishna is actually using a double negative here, right? So he says, a non-karma yogi does not renounce obsession. So which means what? A karma yogi renounces obsession, right? Worry renouncer. Karma yogi is a worry renouncer, right? So, O Arjuna, that which they call renunciation is that karma yoga alone, right? For nobody becomes a karma yogi without renouncing fancies or worry about the future. Continuing,
aru rukshor munir yogam, karma karana muchyate, yoga rudasya tasyaiva, shamak karana muchyate,
Shamakaranamuchyate. So Lord Krishna says, what's the use of Karma Yoga way of life? Right? He's talking about it. Right? He talks about the benefits. Yogam Arurukshoho. Yoga means Atmadhyanam or Nididhyasanam. Whoever wants to practice Atmadhyanam or Vedantic meditation must practice Panchamahayajna or Karma Yoga, and in parallel practice Shravanam and Mananam. It will help him to elevate, right? Yoga is used in different contexts right through Gita. Here, first line, yoga does not mean Karma Yoga, but means Nididhyasana Yoga or Vedantic meditation. After rigorous Karma Yoga and Shravanam and Mananam, may you do Nididhyasanam, right? So for a person who wants to qualify for Vedantic meditation, he must be a Karma Yogi. And when he practices Karma Yoga and learns to drop worry about the future and maintains equanimity in all opposite pairs of experience, Martha, Sparshastu, Kaunteya, Shitoshna, Sukha, Dukkada, we saw that. Life will have ups and downs, but I must learn to move on. Titiksha is one who practices and gains that, and his mind will be available for meditation and he can forget family, profession, etc. and sit in meditation for 15 minutes. Because of Karma Yoga training, once he has reasonable control, right? Since last week we discussed Shiva Manasa Stotram, and I don't know whether any of you tried. Maybe at the end of the session I can find out if you have any feedback on that. You can observe your mind wandering, right? If it is wandering totally, that it means long way to go. If the mind is available for listening to the, you know, the chanting and is able to be somewhat focused, it's under reasonable control. So that's what you strive to be, and then you see where you stand. Others are not going to know this. It is absolutely private, right? Sometimes you will also go off to sleep. That can also happen. That means that you are not getting enough sleep at other times to actually practice meditation, right? So this is just an exercise for self-assessment, and we can create our own progress report and monitor. It may take months, it may take years, right? So Swamiji says, also another thing is, if it is under reasonable control, right, and you are able to focus, you can reduce extrovert activities gradually and spend more time dwelling on the teaching, right? Because you need time to spend on the teaching. So if you don't take your time off from the extrovert activities, you will not be able to spend that time, right? So our initial stage of life should have heavy activity, right? Now withdrawal cannot be in the initial stages, and slowly we will be able to move towards more time on this, right? So in fact, the spiritual philosophy is given more importance later, right? And there is a very famous shloka, which I think mantra that I've spoken about from Kaivalya Upanishad. Na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyage naika amrutatva manashuhu parena nakam nihitam guhayam vibhrajate yadyatayo vishanti. Right? So it is through renunciation that a few seekers have attained immortality. So finally, only if you reduce the extrovert activities, you will be able to spend quality time on Vedantic meditation. So initially, we are equipped to do more activity. Then body also, as we grow older and older, our physical strength comes down, right? So from a Bahirmukha life, it becomes Antarmukha life, internal, right, life. So gradually we have to slow down. So Lord Krishna says, Aru Rukshor Muner Yogam. For a spiritual seeker, extrovert life of contribution is sadhana, okay, a karma yoga sadhana. Yoga rudasya tasyaiva. After getting sufficient spiritual growth, slowing down, right, withdrawal is another sadhana, right? Even scriptural study requires reducing worldly activities. Shamaha karana muchyate. Even to just attend class, right, and to focus during this time, we need to reduce our worldly activities and develop shamaha or quietitude. So the meaning is, for a seeker who wants to reach dhyana yoga, karma yoga is said to be the means. For him who has reached Dhyana Yoga, renunciation is said to be the means. Renunciation means you have to come down with your port reduction. Possession, obligatory duties, relationships and transactions. Right? Continuing.
Yada hinindriyarteshu, yada hinindriyarteshu, na karma svanushajjate, na karma svanushajjate, sarva sankalpa sanyasi, sarva sankalpa sanyasi, yogarudate, yogarudasta dochyate.
So in the previous shloka, Lord Krishna said initial life should be extrovert and contributory. And once, when sufficient spiritual growth is attained, one should gradually reduce extrovertedness and turn towards spirituality. Right? So there Krishna uses the word yogarudaha. So naturally the question will be, what do you mean by sufficient spiritual growth? How do I know when I should reduce activity? So Krishna says, I will give you an indicator. Lord Krishna says, we all have got Ichcha Shakti, unique faculty to desire for things. We have Ichcha, Kriya and Jnana Shakti, unique to human beings. Animals do not have any of these. Animals do not have any future plans, only instinctive needs. Right? No dog will have a plan for 2021, 2022. Right? You ask, it will just bark and go away. It doesn't even understand. Right? Human beings have capacities to explore things and get newer and newer houses. Birds and animals have their own nests and abodes. They don't look at how to, you know, do interior decoration for their nest, etc. Right? That's not the goal of their life. So, all three shaktis, Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti will be there lifelong. Human beings, privileged these are, right? Therefore, the growth of the human being is in refinement of these three shaktis, right? Desire for taking things, amassing wealth, right, will be replaced by desire for giving. By studying our desires, you will know in which state or what level of spirituality we are. Sense pleasures we initially desire, which are very gross, like animals, then they start getting refined. So, artha kama desires, which are gross, right? Veda says they are natural. Just fulfill them legitimately. Like a child has toys. It is only natural. It's perfectly okay to desire toys. But obviously the mother hopes that at the age of 25, the child does not ask for toys. That's a serious problem, right? So, just as we grow out of desires for toys, as we grow spiritually, sense pleasures should appear as toys. So we grow out of sensual pressures, artha kama desire should be replaced by dharma and moksha. Gradually our desire will change and the books we read, the entertainment, right, everything will change and will become finer. For instance, your Saturdays and Sundays could have been in going to movies, going to parties, going to clubs. You will start observing a change and at some point in time, initially, you may be okay to, you know, take one day off from the class and go. But after that, your class will become your life. You will not give that up for anything else. And slowly, what happens, even if you have sudden guests dropping in at that time, first you will accommodate. Then slowly, you will start learning to tell them very politely that, no, I have a class and I have to go or I have to listen, right? So, you will see that your own desires will get slowly changed and refined, right? So, the spiritual desire will become higher, right? It's not that we don't play with kids, we don't enjoy shopping, we don't go out or anything. But, in and through all of these, you will see that there is a change in the desire, right? Becomes finer, right? So, when a human being grows out of worldly things, the desire for, you know, values, etc. will increase. Like when what happens, desire for reading biography of great people, desire for Gita class, etc. will go up, right? So tada indriyeshu, when the human being grows out of worldly desires, right, spending time more on Gita and scriptural teachings, it indicates spiritual growth. So when the mind is blown out of sense objects and sense pleasures, mind is available for spiritual activity, right? So extrovert activities for acquiring more and more sense objects, right? Like they say living, yearning and shopping, right? Khana, piyo, maza karo, right? Ordinary care from, like from normal car, small car, you want big car, etc. All those kind of desires will start getting refined, right? So attachment also comes down with respect to sense objects and people, right? Karma svanu shajjate, desire for all these things, right? They happen because of our fancying mind, right? When we go to somebody's house, right? We see something there, we also want to buy that. Or our children go somewhere, come back, they compare, right? So there are initial stages, there are people who get attracted by this. But with constant exposure, there are few intelligent people who don't fall and they have this higher goal in life and who have better things to do. And what do? They nip that thought in the bud itself. Swamiji uses this word, this term, thought displacement syndrome, right? Just replacing the thought. So such a person who drops these kinds of fancies, etc., he is a candidate for spiritual learning, right? So indeed, when one is interested in sense objects, nor in their pursuits, then that renouncer of all fancies, right, is said to be the one who has reached Dhyana Yoga. Right? Next shloka.
Uddaredatmanatmanam Natmanam avasadayet Atmaivahyatmano banduhu Atmaivaripuratmanah.
Now, extremely useful and practical shloka. Okay. I will come to the practical aspects of this because I know that several of you also work and are in, you know, more like middle-aged, etc. Because this is something that I have used in my corporate life to talk about this to people. So I'll come to that after I finish the, you know, the main part of the discussion, what Swamiji teaches, right? So that is why if you see, I have so many stars there, right? You can take a printout and keep. Now, here Lord Krishna mentions some of the important virtues or values every spiritual seeker should carefully cultivate. Right? Generally, we talk of grace or kripa. Four types of kripa. What are they? Ishwara's grace is already available. Why? We are born in the culture that values spirituality, giving more importance to dharma moksha as compared to artha kama. Our society, Hindu society is like that. We are also, of course, getting changed now, but still today we have scriptures, temples are available, opportunity to study is available. Right? It is Ishwara Kripa. Guru Kripa is spiritual guide. You have a spiritual guide because we are in India. It may be even easier to find somebody. Otherwise also you will find a guru. That is Guru Kripa. Right? If you have the grace. Next one is Shastra Kripa. An opportunity to study scriptures and understand what is spiritual life. So Gita is the greatest guide. Very often in many houses you will see Gita is kept in the puja room. Right? And they just show Deeparadhana. Now, we are at a stage where we use Gita every day, day in and day out, right? We have come to the sixth chapter, we can use several of these shlokas and practice every day, right? So, that is Shastra Kripa. Fourthly, Atma Kripa, blessing from myself, right? Grace of ourselves. Why grace of ourselves? We would have understood. Without our own grace, we won't be able to spend time, right? So we require blessing from ourselves in the form of self-confidence, right? so that I can follow the spiritual path, I can study the scriptures, follow and attain spiritual success. If I don't have the self-confidence, Ishwara Kripa can't help me. Right? Even if Ishwara Kripa is available in the form of Guru and Shastram, I will say this won't help me. All three Kripas will become useless if I don't have Atma Kripa or self-confidence. Right? There are many people who are very fatalistic and believe nothing can be changed. Right? So, the first one we have to understand is self-confidence is primary and he must believe in free will. A fatalistic attitude will not help. Right? So, I cannot achieve anything, attitude will not help. Right? Okay. So, first and foremost thing is human beings, we have, as human beings, we have free will. Because our free will alone is not enough, Shastra is guiding us first hand, right? Otherwise, Lord Krishna can tell Arjuna what? Everything is predetermined. Why should I teach? The very fact that Lord Krishna is teaching, right? He believes in Arjuna's free will, right? If everything is predetermined, he will not teach at all, right? So, renouncing fatalism is the first aspect. We are aware and we do not negate faith, but we negate fatalism. Fatalism is belief that fate is the only factor that determines future. Lord Krishna negates fatalism and Krishna says fate determines our future, but it's only one of the many factors, right? And we have free will which we can use and influence our fate. The resultant force will be different from the direction of the fate. Very clear, right? So, acceptance of free will is first step. So, self-will is the first step, right? So, second is self-confidence, right? With available free will, I can influence my life positively, right? First is self-will, second is self-confidence. Third is self-effort. I have to put in that effort, right? And then fourth is self-integration of the personality, right? All, what is self-integration? We will see. All four are important and Lord Krishna highlights this in this very important shloka, negating fatalism, right? Uddared atmanatmanam. Arjuna, use your free will to upgrade yourself freely. May you upgrade yourself. Develop self-confidence, right? Natmanam avasadayet. Do not downgrade yourself in the name of humility. You will see some people having this habit. They will downgrade themselves, right? Degrading yourself is also wrong. I am ordinary. I am not like you. What for you? Always negative talk, right? You can see people like that around you, right? Now, always say, I can use my free will to uplift myself. Once you remember God's grace, arrogance will not come. So, people always have this worry that, you know, if I say that, then maybe I'll get arrogant. No, add with the grace of God, right? That's all, right? So, self-confidence, self-effort, and now self-integration. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhu. For accomplishing your goals of life, you have within yourself a physical body, with lovely karmendriyam, jnanendriyam, that is the sense organs, right? Your hands, legs, right? Your wonderful mind, the beautiful intellect. Panchakoshas are your assets, right? So, this is, you have all this to accomplish, right? Now, Lord Krishna in fact compares the body, mind, sense organs to a chariot, right? He says life is your journey. Body is, I think I've covered this once before from Kathopanishad. Body is like chariot, sense organs are the horses, your mind is the rein and the intellect is the driver. Right? Rathakalpana, this is called. So, you have got fantastic instruments, karmendriyam, jnanendriyam, etc. Integrate them. They are available for dharma, artha, karma, moksha. In addition to that, we have ichashakti, kriyashakti, jnanashakti, right? And we regularly pray. Karagre, Vasati, Lakshmi, Karamule, Saraswati, karamadhye cha gauri prabhate karapujanam. Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati, in the morning we pray representing the three shaktis. We invoke the powers in our mind, right? So desire to attend Gita class is something I have to invoke through Ichashakti, right? So tapping these resources, your body becomes your friend. Very important point. If you tap your resources and in an integrated way, then it becomes your friend. Otherwise, the same body-mind complex can become your enemy. Atmaiva ripuratmanaha, right? So healthy body is the best friend and sick body is the enemy. Similarly, healthy mind is the best friend and worried mind is enemy. Therefore, Arjuna, you are your friend for accomplishing all the purusharthas. You are your enemy as well. Atmaiva ripuratmanaha. Your body-mind sense complex can be your friend or enemy. So life becomes a burden when we are sick. So Atma means here different layers of our personality. Not Satchidananda Atma here. Physical, emotional, spiritual and moral personality. They should all function in a integrated manner, right? That is what is referred to here as self-integration, right? So the self is a friend of one self or him by whom the self is mastered by the very self. But that very self would remain in enmity like an enemy for him who has not mastered the self. Right? So we saw four aspects: self-will, self-confidence, self-effort and self-integration. I'll spend a couple of minutes on where it's so relevant. Now if you take today's world, and our own technology jobs and, you know, or any job for that matter. Because technology is rapidly evolving, what happens is, to just stay relevant, there is a lot of work that one has to do on their own. Now, 30 years back, 20 years back, it was okay to say, I don't know whether it was okay to say that even at that time, but it was at least tolerable to say that, oh, the company did not send me to a training program. I have been doing the same job for the last 10 years, right? Today, in this scenario, this is totally unacceptable. So, in the induction programs that I do for college intakes, when you have 2,000 people, 3,000 people coming in, on day one, I start the induction session with this particular shloka. What is the relevance of this shloka to people who are working? It's a very practical relevance. Do not allow your future to be trampled by somebody else, right? They may want you to work in some old obsolete technology for ages, but it does not prevent you from taking the future into your hand, putting in that extra effort and learning something. And nobody is going to tell you no. Because it is in your hands and it is yourself. Don't blame the company or the family or your luck, still worse, right? And say that I have lost my job. If you do not stay relevant with your own self-effort and have that confidence, midlife crisis is becoming a serious issue, right? So there this absolutely essential, this shloka becomes very, very relevant, right? So important. And of course, I did not speak much about integration here because Arjavam, which is what we spoke about even in the Karma Yoga concept, Arjavam means integration of the different personalities. It is Kayika, Vachika and Manasa personalities. Basically the Annamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha must not be in conflict with each other. You tell something, do something, think something, do something. If you do that, then you will have a conflict there and that can also cause a problem. So the body, mind, sense organs, intellect, everything has to work together as a team. That is what is referred to as self-integration, right? So absolutely relevant for the working population also, this particular verse is extremely useful. Continuing,
Bandhur Atmatmanastasya बन्धुरात्मा मनस्तस्य एनात्मैवात्मनादितः एनात्मैवात्मनादितः अनात्मनस्तु शत्रुत्वे वर्तेतात्मैव शत्रुवत्
Right? So, as I said, when we say integrated personality, we mean that every layer must be individually healthy. That is, your physical body, your mind must be relaxed, healthy, intellect must be capable of thinking logically, right? See, even if individual team players are okay, finally, if their team doesn't work cohesively, most team games will fail, right? All team games will fail for that matter, right? So similarly, if intellect decides to attend Gita class, mind must cooperate, right? By remaining in class. Otherwise, what will happen? You may be here, you may not hear, right? So if the mind chooses to wander or worry, even though you may try to hear, will not be able to listen. Mind must be able to listen for this time. In fact, as Swamiji says, that is why the classes have to be restricted to less than 60 minutes. And he follows this almost 100% of the time. And I also try to follow that because it is very important that our mind is behind our hearing. Right? So with that, I will close today's class here. The meaning of this verse is also a little complicated. And by the way, it was a great coincidence that somebody in the Kovida class asked about Chatruvat and Chatrutve. I will take it up and discuss it in the next class anyway. So now I will do the Purnamada.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Okay, any questions? Let me just see if anybody has put up their hands. Radha ji, I don't know whether you have a question or it was not put down at all. Okay. Okay, we have a question here. Why is it believed that Indians are largely fatalistic when scriptures give the scope of free will? Yeah. Now, the problem with this is that if we do not understand, right, the way it's being taught by, say, Pujya Swamiji or Swami Paramarthananda and what I am communicating now, it's very easy to just interpret the law of karma minus the free will. Very easy, right? You can say you are here to exhaust the prarabdha karma, right? And just not talk about agami karma and your role in agami karma or how you can contribute positively, right? So, because of that lack of knowledge, how many of our own Indians who are Hindus can speak about it this way to Westerners, right? So this, there is a belief that way. So we have to do something to correct that. So let us first understand and then if we can communicate, then hopefully things will change, right? Lord Krishna sometimes indicates in the Gita that he is there from the time he instructed Vaivasvan, the sun god, and knows the eventual result of the Mahabharata war. If he knows everything, then what is the scope of free will for individuals? Okay. He doesn't say anywhere that he knows the scope of Mahabharata war. He doesn't say that. He is Sarvajnaha because he is God. He is Ishvara. He says he was there from Vaivasvatamanu's time. But he doesn't tell Arjuna this. He says you can influence your you know, future, and this is what you must think through and you must do. Finally, he never imposes. Right through Gita, he keeps on explaining the difference and he makes Arjuna take the decision finally, right? So I think that's the small difference, right? He is Sarvajna because Krishna is Avatara, right? So, okay. Now, is there anybody else who has any questions? You can put up your hand if you want to ask any questions. Yeah, did anybody try out meditation or no? I wanted to check that also. You tried? Oh, okay. Here we have somebody who has tried and there's also somebody here who has tried. Let me find out. Yeah, Vinu, go ahead.
Ma'am, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I'm able
yes.
to hear.
So, I tried that meditation. So, I didn't really try with that Shiva Manasa Puja, but I tried with the Om Namah Shivaya. So,
okay.
That I used to do while I do the evening sadhana or whatever. So, what happens
okay.
is, ma'am, as soon as I close my eyes and start chanting the this one, Om Namah Shivaya. What happens is after say 5 to 10 seconds, my thoughts will go away. Means it is going to different directions. So that's
correct.
What I observed. But again, I just tried to chant. I tried to concentrate on the chanting slowly. Maybe after 5 minutes or 6 minutes. I am able to understand that I am not the mind. That is one important realization. I mean, say recently I understood. I am somebody who is observing my thoughts. So, but still mind is going, but I am slowly, that thought process, right, ma'am? It is coming down slow.
Correct.
I am able to concentrate onto that chanting. And again, after some time, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, again, my mind will go somewhere. Maybe I'll think about the how Shiva looks like. These are the thoughts coming into my mind. So, but it was an effective way, ma'am. It was very much effective for me to do that kind of meditation. Maybe it is not completely up the way Dhyana Yoga described in Gita, but I think it is a good direction towards this meditation. This was my experience, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much that you shared this. So the people here, because you didn't hear, I should have taken it out of the headphone earlier. So he was talking about his experience with meditation, how he started slowly seeing that he's not the mind, but he's able to observe the thoughts and slowly that is bringing about a change in, you know, the way he is looking at it. See, one more thing that helps, right, is using this is what Swamiji told me, so you can try, is using a japa mala itself and doing 108 japams even before you try meditation. Because the minute
okay.
your hand goes on the japa mala, your mind also gets disciplined.
Okay.
You can try that.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yeah, here Shiva wanted to say something. Yes, Shiva, go ahead. Nilanjana? You're self-muted, Nilanjana. Nilanjana?
Am I audible now?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so I practice the Sahaj Samadhi meditation. I have been doing it for about more than 10 years now. So my observation has been that when I'm doing the meditation, I'm quite calm and I can meditate. But otherwise, you know, the stress and everything comes back. But for that morning and evening meditation, that 20 minutes to half an hour, it's very beautiful.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess with your spiritual learning now, you will find it different also, because you are coming from the other direction. First meditation and then scriptural learning. I'm sure you will find it different. Yeah, that is good.
Okay.
Over a period of time, I'm sure. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Otherwise, if there are no more questions, we can stop here. I'm just going to see if there are any questions, type questions. Just give me half a second. Okay, no other questions. So we will meet next Sunday, same time. Dhanyavada.